Good evening and welcome to a special edition of Cheater and the Rue. Tonight, Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit, will be here. His words will be heard. His thoughts will be shared. So hang on tight. Tonight actually is a special night. Tonight we're going to cover three things. We're going to cover the Bergdahl, Benghazi, Potato, Patazi. Thank you say Bergdahl, I say Benghazi. You say who's spending, I say who's buying. Bergdahl, Benghazi, spending, buying. Let's call the whole thing off. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the NRA gun nutty thing, and we'll talk about cheating, something that's near and dear to my heart. It's weird, it's ugly head again, and we're going to do this in a special way. We're gonna have some of the Rude Pundit's posts right here. We're gonna read his writing that you can read at rudepundit.blogspot.com, and we're going to have an audio clip from the final edition, thefinaledition.com, the final edition radio hour, which follows this show. Here on PRN, we are moving in whatever direction. We don't care. We're just doing it as a tax write-off, so come with us. And we're also going to have a little special clip of a new audio seminar that's making the rounds. So let's start with this. I'm going to put on my Rude Pundit voice, which is remarkably, I'm unable to continue this, so just pretend I'm the Rude Pundit. Here's his thoughts regarding Republicans and the exchange Taliban members. This is the clean version. In transition music. Oh, yeah. Dateline, whenever I'm reading this. When the Rude Pundit first read about the exchange of five members of the Taliban who had been detained at the prison at Guantanamo Bay for the only American soldier prisoner of war in Afghanistan, and then he heard how the Republicans were upset at the deal because the released detainees might attack America again, he wondered what the Gitmo detainees had been through. That's not to diminish the 5 years that Sergeant Bo Bergdahl endured as a POW, a real actual POW, not a, quote, detainee, but whatever that BS word means in terms of being a prisoner during a war. Anyway, Ted Cruz, one of our favorites here. You know, I told you my camping story about Ted Cruz, probably not in the last few months. Look it up. It's all in the archives. This is Jeff talking now. Back to you talking. Ted Cruz was all concerned about how the soldiers who captured the Taliban members might feel about the exchange.
Can you imagine what Bergdahl would say to his fallen comrades who lost their lives to stop these people who were responsible either directly or indirectly for threatening or attacking U.S. civilian lives?
Yes, their feelings do matter. Except, of course, that no Americans died capturing them. Yeah, see, Mullah Nurullah Nuri, this is Jeff saying, sorry, pronunciation, it's written, he turned himself in. Muhammad Nabi Omari was tricked into being arrested at an airport. Kirula Karkwa was captured by Pakistani forces when he was trying to negotiate a surrender. He was transferred to American custody. And Mullah Muhammad Fazi surrendered to U.S. forces. And Abdul Haq Wasiq said he could provide the U.S. with Taliban leader Mullah Omar's location, but he was arrested by the U.S. In other words, turn himself in, surrender, captured by Pakistanis, tricked, and offering to help. So Cruz can grow, that was me, Jeff, summing up. So Cruz can go screw himself with his sympathy for our troops. I imagine the dirty version of this was much more colorful in what Cruz could do. You know, you could check out the National Denier Service, search National Denier Service, Ted Cruz, for a fantastic animation regarding Ted Cruz. Maybe if there's time, we'll play that. Probably not. That was Jeff again. Now here's John. John, who's John? Who the fuck is John? Yeah, that was Jeff again. Here's Lee. By no stretch of the imagination are these former Gitmo residents good people. They are violent jackasses. But they were violent jackasses who were part of an army of the then government of Afghanistan, whether we liked that government or not. And they have been held without charge for trial for 12 to 13 years. They were tortured or interrogated in an enhanced way, if that's the lie you like to tell yourself. Fox News! 24, also a show on Fox. That was Jeff. At least one, Fazi, is wanted by the United Nations for war crimes, but we haven't allowed him to be charged and tried on that allegation. John McCain lost what's left of his mind. Jeff added what's left of, as usual, on Nation, faced Bob Schieffer in what was the oldest hour of television perhaps ever. Said Senator McCain, with all the subtlety of the end of last night's Game of Thrones, this was obviously written on Monday, it is disturbing that these individuals would have the ability to re-enter the fight and that they are big, high-level people possibly responsible for the deaths of thousands. Those thousands were Shia Muslims in Afghanistan. So let's get these guys before The Hague for some war crimes prosecutions, right? And you can be sure that the North Vietnamese thought McCain was responsible for many, many deaths too, but they let him go after 5.5 years as a POW. See, that's why nations have the Geneva Conventions, because this is complicated. We just had to ignore those agreements, right? That's what we do. We just had to ignore those agreements because we faced a threat that no one had ever faced before in the history of ever. No one ever had it as bad as us. So we've cursed ourselves with Guantanamo Bay, a greater cause of terrorism and anti-Americanism than 1,000 released Taliban fighters. Here's a thought experiment. Change Obama to Bush. Change Republicans criticizing to Democrats. I guess like they would ever do that. Now ask yourself, how many variations of the word vagina would Dick Cheney been using to condemn Democrats as hating the troops if they didn't want to bring our prisoners home? It's a good question, Lee. I particularly like the line about us cursing ourselves with Guantanamo Bay, a greater cause of terrorism and anti-Americanism. 1,000 Justin Bieber's. Ha ha! I made it awkward. All right. I think those are valid points. You can email Lee at, let's see what email addresses he shares with him. RudePundit@yahoo.com. Visit his website, rudepundit.blogspot.com. I haven't decided if now I'm going to play this clip. You know, we're going to play Idiots with Guns from the final edition right now before we segue into a discussion of guns and idiots.
The following is a paid political message from Idiots with Guns.
Hi, I'm Bill Newport.
And I'm Chris White on behalf of Idiots with Guns.
You know, every time someone gets in the news shooting an unarmed person, the National Rifle Association rises to defend responsible gun owners. But what about the rest of us?
The Second Amendment to the Constitution doesn't just guarantee guns for smart, responsible people. They're for everyone.
We're idiots, and we have the right to defend ourselves.
Now, suppose I see a black teenager in a hoodie walking down the street at night. What am I supposed to do? Call the police? Do what they tell me? Let highly trained members of law enforcement handle the situation?
Or let's say I've just had a messy divorce, and now my kids and ex-wife are going to continue their lives without my total control.
Plus, you're drunk.
Plus, I'm drunk. So, I have to go home and kill them.
What else can you do?
Do I have another option?
Probably. But point is, we're too dumb to think of it. That's why guns must be kept safe and legal for exactly the kind of morons who really use them.
So I can defend my opinion.
And I can defend my opinion.
And I can defend my opinion.
And I can shoot you in a homosexual panic.
What?
I'm not gay!
This has been a paid political message from Idiots with Guns.
Okay, we're back. Wasn't that great? The NRA apologizes or something, posted on June 4th, 2014 by the Reed Pundit. ReedPundit.blogspot.com. Yesterday, the NRA apologized for saying, "Suck my dick, you faggot," to the gun brandishing members of Open Carry Texas. The NRA's top lobbyist, Chris Cox, went on the NRA radio to see how sorry he was for his terrible words. Said Cox, "I said the most hurtful word I could think of in the moment, and you know, I didn't mean this in the sense of the word. I didn't mean it in a homophobic way, and I didn't think that matters. You know, how you mean things doesn't matter. Words have weight and meaning, and the word I chose was grotesque, and no one deserved to say and hear words like that. My heart's broken, and I genuinely am deeply sorry to anyone who's affected by the term in their life. I'm sorry, I don't deserve or expect your forgiveness, but what I'll ask is that at home, if you're watching this, and you're a young person especially, if someone says something that hurts you or angers you, use me as an example of what not to do, and don't respond with hatred or anger, because you're just adding more ugliness into the world. And again, I'm just so sorry." Oh, wait. Despite the accent, that was actually actor Jonah Hill on The Tonight Show. demonstrating sincere regret for his outburst at a scum-sucking bit of worm shit. See, there are other words you can use, Jonah. Who followed him around all day, baiting Hill and snapping photos. What Hill did was to say he was sorry to the people who needed to hear his mea culpa, and he stood up like a mensch and did so. Cox, on the other hand, apologized to the NRA for issuing a statement that it's downright weird that some gun owners want to carry their loaded semi-automatic rifles openly into restaurants, even those that have small children. The statement, which is still on the NRA website, also said, to those who are not acquainted with the dubious practice of using public displays of firearms as a means to draw attention to oneself or one cause, can be downright scary. This, don't worry, the statement also attacks the possibilities in smart gun technology, so the NRA was never going to be your new boyfriend. Now, the NRA ended its statement, hopefully saying the organization certainly does not support bans on, certainly does not support bans on carrying firearms in public, including in restaurants, where you think that people are intelligent enough to resolve these issues in a reasonable way for themselves, which means the NRA has never actually met its members or heard the sketch that we played earlier. Because, see, what those members who belong to Open Carry Texas did was to cut up their NRA membership card and declare, no shit, that if I do not retract their disgusting and disrespectful comments, yeah, this accent is a shorthand for dumb, OCT will have to no choice but to withdraw its support of the NRA and establish a relationship with other gun-fighting organizations that fight for all gun rights instead of just paying them lip service the way the NRA appears to be doing. Now, the NRA could have said, are you fucking prophetic nut-nuts that stupid? You understand how bad you're making the rest of us look? Jesus, it could have started a hashtag cash not all gun owners. It could have taken a stand and stood by its own assertion that it makes folks who normally feel perfectly open-minded about firearms feel uncomfortable and question the motives of pro-gun advocates, but nope. Mother Humpers caved like a soda can under an elephant's foot. It was a piece of commentary, Cox said, not NRA policy. And in one of the great pussy statements of all time, Cox said, and I don't remember which accent I used for him, so hang on, while National Rifle Association unapologetically and unflinchingly supports the right of self-defense, and what that means is that our members and our supporters have a right to carry a firearm in any place they have a legal right to be. If that means open carry, we support open carry. If it means concealed carry, it means concealed carry. So unequivocally, we support open carry, and we've been the leader of open carry across this country, leader in opposing efforts to curtail the ability to carry firearms, and that's something we're proud of and do every day for our members. Go nuts, assholes. Go freaking nuts. Head out to the beef trough or whatever family restaurant with your guns out and get your flies unzipped. Need to say Open Carry Texas. I was thrilled. On its Facebook page, it said, it's Open Carry Texas. We like to think the boot to get up a key lick. If we're going to get that up a coo. Yeah, all you get up a key. We did a potato, but you with or without support of the internet. Our mission is unchanged. To legalize open carry of modern handguns in Texas and to continue to educate and train Texans regarding safely carrying firearms openly. That's a hell of a goal there. A life well spent. Once again, the NRA fails to apologize to the people to whom they owe a never-ending stream of apologies. End of these pieces. Some of my gobbledygook with real words. Reminds me of what I said here many times about the Frankenstein monster being built up by people with short-sighted, self-interested motives. Let's diseducate. Yeah, that's the word. Let's diseducate so we can get elected and sell things. And then when that monster grows and we can't control it, too bad. Speaking of monsters growing and being unable to control, let's segue now into a little something different. Now, we talked about people using lack of intelligence or intentional misdirection to get people in trouble and make themselves rich. Let's really get to the nitty-gritty of how you all can get rich cheating. With a little visit from one of my favorite seminar conductors, a wealth-building genius, a man who's advised industry leaders around the world, Jeff Kreisler, and seminar. Get Rich Cheating Seminar. Enjoy.
You be the first to hear it. Let me ask you all a quick question, a little thought exercise. Are any of you rich? No, you're not. How do I know that? Because you're listening to this right now. You're not rich. You're poor. But that's going to change. That has to change through the power of cheating. Now, let me step back for a second. I used to be like all of you, you know, just struggling, trying to find my way to fortune. I mean, what were my plans? I was, you know, buying lottery tickets, investing in the stock market, waiting for my grandmother to die. It never happened. And one day I was sitting in a bathroom stall. I was reading a newspaper. I'm sure you all have read about newspapers on the internet. And these stories, they just struck me. You know, bailed out executive gets $40 million severance. Steroid user gets $200 million salary. Kim Kardashian exists. It struck me like a ton of pricks. These folks were getting rich cheating. It wasn't hard work. It wasn't intelligence. It wasn't even luck. It was cheating. And I was just amazed. I gathered myself. I asked the senator in the stall next to me to get some toilet paper. And I went and I did some research because I consider myself a student in history. I believe that we stand on the shoulders of giants. And if we just reach down, we can steal their ideas. And so I went to research cheating. I asked myself, has there always been cheating for wealth? Or is this just a recent phenomenon? And what I found, it shocked me. But it opened my eyes to the possibilities. What I found was looking through the great moments in history that they were also the great moments in cheating. In darkness. Right? God created the heaven and earth in 6 days, then submitted an invoice for seven. In 1206 AD, Genghis Khan proposed a merger with Asia Incorporated. Once he was rebuffed, he created the most brutal empire in history until Google. In the 1870s, Standard Oil was a great monopoly. It was really the first great monopoly to use political and economic power to achieve greatness. I mean, there's no other word. And wealth, of course, for Rockefeller. And, of course, once Standard Oil was broken up, oil it was never again a political or economic issue. In 1929, seminal moment, John Steinbeck engineered the Great Depression in order to boost sales of his book, Grapes of Wrath. In a similar move, the moon landing was faked, I don't know if you knew that, by the moon rock industry. We only discovered their ruse when MTV landed on the kick-ass moon in the 80s. In speaking of the 80s, another big step. We had Standard Oil back in the 1870s, and in the 1980s we had Enron. Enron was founded. Now, these guys are our modern Jesus. I mean, just say the word Enron. Just feel it roll off your tongue. Enron. Enron. It's like Yahweh or Jesus or Reagan. It just these guys coined the phrase creative accounting. They were the first. It sounds better than making crap up. They were trendsetters. I don't have time in this brief little tease for my seminar and my book, all of which you can purchase online for thousands of dollars. Thousands, that's nothing. Like, you're going to spit out thousands of dollars every day when you wake up coughing because you've been sleeping in money because you're allergic to it, so you have to spend it and you keep getting more. So thousands of dollars, just drop in the bucket. There's more about Enron in the more intensive seminar and book, is my point. A few other moments in history, of course, in 2000, votes counted in Florida for president, 2004, votes counted in Ohio for president, 2008, we had a bailout that was $750 billion and 3 pages long. And in 2014, just pick up the paper any day in any section and you will see cheaters getting rich. They may not be breaking some law, but they are definitely cheating. They have an unfair advantage and they're exploiting it. And that is what this moment in your life is about. Because I sat there after my research and I said, hey, if those people can do it, why not me? Why not me? Why not you? Right? What I realized is I just had to fall back on standard sort of methodology of how to achieve dreams. First, you visualize your dream. Then you confront the obstacles to your dreams. Then you achieve your dreams. For me, I had to visualize my dream. And I can ask you all to visualize your dream. Visualize what it is that you want. Just take a moment and think about what it is that you want more than anything. You have that in your head? I guarantee you, you can get that with money. You want love? Money. You want goodness? Money. You want happiness and joy and peace, money, money, money will provide all that. You know, forgetting the name of the singer, it doesn't matter because I'm stealing his words anyway, but he said, they say money can't buy you love, but a half ounce of cocaine and some hookers, it's pretty close. You know, you don't have to go down that road, but, you know, money can buy you the love of a good woman or the love of several mediocre women. And through that, you can build a future. And if you're a woman listening to this, and this is certainly not restricted to men, although most of the rich cheaters at this point are men, and I hope we can have equal rights. I want to build an army of cheaters so they can't catch us all. you could get a mediocre man with enough money, or many mediocre, or a great man. You can get whatever you want. Look, money is not just for food and rent and alimony. If you have enough money, you can do whatever you want and live forever. Just ask Hugh Hefner. And if you don't think money is ultimately the judge of our worth as a person, you know, ask, have you ever seen the TV show Lifestyles of the Poor and Decrepit? No. You know, you see little boys running around with T-shirts that say, show me the money. Little five-year-olds. Show me the money instead of Winnie the Pooh. I mean, it made sense to me. You know, Winnie the Pooh is so poor, he can't afford pants. So I visualized my dream, money, just as you are now visualizing yours. And I confronted the obstacles to my dream. But I asked myself, what am I afraid of? Why do I not want to get rich cheating? It came down to a simple thing. Fear. First, I was afraid of getting caught. There's a chance when you get rich cheating that you might get caught. But, and this is a big but, and I like big buts because they do not lie. Getting caught cheating is not the same as going to jail cheating. Ask yourself, how many people are in prison for the financial crisis? None. Maybe some one French dude who sort of did nothing. Nobody. Even Bernie Madoff. Yeah, he was sentenced to 125 years in jail, but Bernie Madoff stole $60 billion. Are you telling me Bernie Madoff can't afford a clone? He can. You could too. And again, the full seminar, the book full, a lot of tactics, a lot of real defenses by real cheaters that got them out of any legal trouble. Like Bernie Embers of WorldCom said, he didn't know what was happening in his company. It was the aw shucks defense, called the aw shucks defense. Right? Most successful defense ever since it debuted in 1956 trial of Wally versus the Beaver. So don't worry about going to jail. And what else you worry about? Going in front of Congress? Please, first of all, Congress, those are your peers. Those are your rich, cheating, corporate beholden peers. Right? If you want to survive a congressional hearing, first of all, let me say congratulations. You go to Congress, it means you've really affected important change in the world and in your wallet. You go in front of Congress to survive, just, you know, have a flag pin, have your family, particularly if they're either photogenic or crippled, sit behind you. Don't be sworn in. Own all the congressmen. And above all else, if you want to survive a congressional hearing, do not be a minority, a woman, or, God forbid, both. So Congress and the jails and the justice system, those aren't concerns. You shouldn't be afraid of that. But let me ask you to think about what it is that you really do fear. It's not being caught and punished. You want to be liked. You don't want to be hated. You believe that cheaters get hated. Look, we all want to be liked. That's why we're on Twitter and Facebook and Prozac. You can't control what other people think about you. And you shouldn't want to control what other people think about you. It shouldn't matter to you what other people think about you. This is where I have to reprogram you. I have to get you to understand. There's no I in team. There's also no we in rich. Other people aren't going to be there. We're born alone. We die alone. And if we're good, if we're lucky, work hard, if we cheat in the middle, we make millions and millions of dollars alone. So don't worry about other people. And I know it's difficult for you to say you don't care about other people. I know that we've been programmed all our lives to believe that what other people think and say and do and feel matters. And all I can tell you is that you may sit there and think, you know what, Jeff, cheating is wrong. I've heard that cheating is wrong. No, you've heard that. You've never felt it. You never felt it in your gut. Because you've just heard this programming shoved down our throat by a bunch of like hippie robots that think that they know what the world is about. I know what is right and wrong. Do what we say. 2.5 men is hilarious. No, lies. All of it. There is no morality. There is birth and death. And in between, we bump into each other and we do whatever we want. The only one judging you is you. So stop doing that. I stopped judging myself. The only thing that mattered to me, my moral compass pointed towards the biggest pile of gold there was. And I pursued it and I got it. And here I am, happy, joyful, evangelicalizing upon the wonders that I discovered. It's hard for a lot of people to accept that you have to discard this artificial notion of morality so quickly. So I understand, again, you have an opportunity to take my multi-thousand dollar seminar and buy multiple thousands of copies of my book. And if you don't like the book, if you're a hater out there listening to this for hate, and you like book burning, fine. Buy lots of my books and burn all of them. I keep buying them and burn them. I don't care. The point is, you're going to get over it. You're going to learn. You're going to realize. You're going to see the truth and understand that the great cheaters out there, they weren't burdened by morality. They didn't care what people thought about them. They care what they thought about themselves. Now, I mentioned this, visualizing your dreams, confronting the obstacles, which is just your fear of being jailed or in Congress or unliked. And then there's achieving your dreams. And really, this is the specific where the coaching, the one-on-one coaching with the $55,000 per day one-on-one coaching that I offer will really help hone what you want. Because it depends on what you do. I will help you sharpen your tools to become a great cheater. You know, you're in the corporate game, you get a board of directors. You want to do steroids if you're an athlete. Sleep the casting couch if you're in show business. Stock options, boat rigging, family connection, you know, just sleeping your way to the top, lying on your resume, whatever it takes. And I just want to share a couple quick things with everyone. Number one, spin. We all have words. We all understand words. You're listening to me talk right now. You've got to be able to spin your reality into a basket to catch gold coins. You know that Donald Trump is just a failed real estate investor? Most people think he's a TV show host, a trophy wife gatherer, a tester of futuristic outer space hair pieces. Because that's the image he puts forth with his spin. And you can use spin for everything, both from creating an image that you can get sucked in the money out of the wallets of the fools that fall for it, and to protect your egg, your nest egg, your egg of future money omelet. You know, like when General Motors fired a bunch of people years ago, they didn't say it was a mass layoff. They said they were lowering the retirement age to now. You have to be able to spin, and you have to be able to choose a group of people to exploit. That is ultimately what it's up. Once we've learned not to care about other people, what they think of us, we learn not to care about them at all, except as a target for our exploitation. Right? Whether they're actors or voters or people that go against their interests or customers or employees, whatever it takes. I think you should go for the young. They're naive and ambitious. You go for students. Be a student loan agency, because you know, student loan agencies, they're guaranteed to get their money back. I think about your own experience with student debt. When you graduate from college, first thing you get is a letter from your student loan company. You get a text, an email, a message. And when you move throughout your life, first letter at your new apartment, student loan company. You cannot run from a student loan company. You cannot hide from a student loan company. Student loan companies will track you to the ends of the earth. I swear, if Osama bin Laden had a student loan, we would have caught him September 12th. So that's simple. Those are some just two simple tools. And the biggest tool for us to use, the biggest way we achieve our dreams is by being right here in America, the land of opportunity. The land that became rich, that became the most powerful in the nation by building itself through the labor of slaves. On land we stole from people we were too dumb to realize didn't come from India. This is a land where we don't care if people cheat, if it doesn't affect the fast food and the cheap TV and the easy living that we consume all the time. There has never been a better time. There has never been a better place. And there have never been better people than you to be cheaters. This is America, the land of opportunity. So I want you to get out there and I want you to prime yourself for a great run. And when you need help, I want you to contact me and hire my services at GetRichCheating.com. Seminars, coaching, books, whatever it takes, you will achieve your dreams by getting rich cheating. God bless you.